The Gospel by John, chapter 16. I'm going to talk about the Comforter tonight. I just want to start with one verse here in John 16, verse 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them that he's about to leave and go to his Father, go back to his Father. And he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And you think about how his disciples felt at this time, at this moment, him saying that. Here's Jesus, the one that they've come to realize is the Son of God, and he's their friend, their Savior. They've been with him day and night for 3+ years, and just there's been such a great love, and now he says he's going to go away. And this is a hard thing for them to take. And that word where Jesus says it's expedient for you that I go away, that's also translated, it is profitable for you that I go away. Or another translation says, it's for your good that I go away. Or else it's to your advantage that I go away. And I'm sure that would be a hard thing for them to agree with at that moment. They would be like, wait a minute, what could be better than you being right here with us? What could possibly be better than that? And the dictionary definition of expedient is a strategy that has certain advantages but is not completely fair. And I'm sure they felt that way, like, this isn't fair for you to go away. And even though Jesus said there was an advantage to it, they felt like, Lord, we don't want you to go. We want you here with us. And that Greek word that is translated expedient is sumphero, and it means to bear together. In other words, it was something that they were both going to have to bear. Not just the disciples were going to have to bear Jesus departing. He was going to have to bear it too. He wanted to be with them. He didn't want to be apart from them. You think of some of the things he said when they were at the Last Supper. Jesus said, with great desire, I've desired to eat this supper with you before I suffer. And he wanted to be with them. And as he prayed to his Father, he said, Father, I will that those that you've given me be with me. He wanted to be together with them too. But there was something that was more important, more necessary than Jesus being there with him at that time. And it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to go because they needed the Holy Ghost. They needed the Comforter. They would never come into the closer relationship with Jesus that they could except for the Holy Ghost to enable them to do that. It would take that much. And that word Comforter is that Greek word parakletos, which means an intercessor or an advocate. And it also means one that's called alongside to help. So they needed help. They needed this Comforter. And tonight we're going to look at what it is about that Comforter that's so vital to our lives. So we'll start over, if we go to chapter 3 here in John. We'll start there. Verses 5 and 6. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So one of the vital things that of the Spirit is we must be born of the Spirit, born again, as Jesus said. And this is true not just with New Testament saints, but with saints throughout the ages. It had to be with the water, which is the Word, and then the Spirit, born of the Spirit. But what we're going to get into tonight is more of not just the way the Spirit was in the Old Testament, where he would come upon someone in a temporary way, but he was there for everyone's salvation. But this is going to be when the Holy Spirit is actually given on the day of Pentecost. So let's go over to chapter 7 in here in John. Chapter 7, verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus just made a simple request. If you're thirsty, and it's pretty easy to tell if you're thirsty or not, isn't it? He said, come unto me and drink, and there'll be rivers of living water come forth. But he's referring, as it says here, to the Holy Spirit. And it says, notice that word, that they that believe on him should receive. Didn't say they all would receive. It's something that Jesus intended for everyone to have, that fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we should have that, but it's a choice of our own, that whether we're going to accept the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be filled or not. But it's something Jesus said we should have. And as you see here, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had to first die and then rise and ascend to his Father before the Holy Spirit could be sent. So it was something that was necessary, and it took, you know, a lot of love for Jesus to do that. He did what was best for his disciples and for us, to go and send the Holy Spirit. So let's turn over to John 14. Go on from there in verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So there's several things to notice here. He says, the Father shall give you another comforter. Jesus had been their comforter while he was with them. And what a great comforter he was. But he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. We're going to send you another comforter. And he'll abide with you forever. Jesus had a mission to do. The will of his Father was that he would come and live a sinless life and then be crucified and die and rise and return to heaven. He wasn't going to be able to be with them physically all the time like that. But the Holy Spirit, being Spirit, is with us always, and he abides with us forever. He's with all of us at the same time, and not just in one place. And he's called the Spirit of Truth, and I love that. But notice the difference there. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Again, showing a difference from those that have just the presence of the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He shall be in you. That's what the difference there that we want to emphasize is so important. And it says here that the Father shall give you another comforter. This is a gift from God. Just as the Father gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus, we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And he gave that gift. And then this next great gift is the comforter that the Father would give. Now, we know every good gift comes down from the Father, so we're not just limited to two gifts, but these are two great gifts that the Father gave, his only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit. And Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God which was in him by the putting on of my hands, referring to the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of God. Stir it up. But at the end here, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so he's referring about his presence through the Spirit. If you look at Acts chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gave commandments to the apostles through the Holy Ghost. That's how he communicates with us now, how he deals with us, how he gives us instruction. It's all through the Holy Ghost. And if you think about it in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus is walking through the midst of the church, and there's something said about those seven churches, each one of them, they're commended or they're rebuked, whatever it might be. But at the end of each one, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what Jesus saith to the church? No. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So Jesus is speaking through the Spirit, and we're to have this listen through the Spirit, but it's the words of the Lord that we're being taught. So let's go back to John now, back to chapter 14. And in verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So here's Jesus had told him many things, and John wrote in one of his gospel there that if everything had been written that Jesus had done, the world couldn't contain the things that should be written. So he told them a lot, and it was going to be more than they could remember. But Jesus told them that the Comforter will teach you all things, which is wonderful, not just teach you a few things. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So when we need to know something that we've learned in the Word of God, we might not always remember it, but the Holy Spirit, if there's a need for it, saying, for an example, testifying to someone, imagine it's happened to every one of us, that the Lord will bring a scripture to your mind that fits that situation just right, because he brings things to our remembrance. That's one of the things he does. And then let's go over to John chapter 15 and verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the Holy Ghost is teaching us about Jesus. And that's what his purpose is here. It's not that the Holy Spirit is bringing glory to himself. He's here to glorify Jesus. And Jesus told the Jews that you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures testify of Jesus. But who wrote the scriptures? Now, there's many men that penned this, but they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Peter tells us this. He said in 2 Peter 1, verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So the Holy Ghost wrote this word, but this word is Jesus. And the Holy Ghost is here to testify of Jesus. And then I thought of the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. And the Word of God, what is it called? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So it's the Spirit that, again, is testifying of Jesus. Now let's go on to John chapter 16, and starting in verse 5. "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." I'm going to stop there for a moment and just look at some of these things. So, again, Jesus telling him he's going to depart, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and this is going to be some of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to reprove, and that word means convict. He's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to each individual life. Every man is given a conviction that they're a sinner. By the Holy Ghost convicts the heart. And then he'll convict them that they're is a justification. There is a Savior. Jesus died for them that they can have life. They don't have to stay in with the sin and be judged for that. But it's something that he convicts the heart of, and everyone has their own choice to accept that or not. They can say, you know, I'm a good guy, I'm not a sinner, or they can say, I'm a sinner, but I'm going to try to do good and make up for it, or, you know, I don't need a Savior, I can do this on my own. They have to realize that they're a sinner and they can't become righteous on their own. There's nothing they can do to become righteous. They need a Savior. They need the righteousness of God. Jesus, it says, he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's the only righteousness that God will accept, is the righteousness of Christ. So the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of that, and that's part of his job that he is doing in this age. And that's also the reason why there's only one unforgivable sin, one unpardonable sin, that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that is because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the heart. You're a sinner, you need a Savior. And if you say, I don't believe that, I refuse to accept that, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to be saved. You're condemned. So any other sin men have committed, Jesus said, would be forgiven. But that one sin is unpardonable. That one sin of rejecting the Holy Ghost and his dealing with our hearts, the conviction he brings to us, is the only one that's unforgivable. So aren't you thankful that that's what it is? It's not like we have to tally up all our sins and be like, wow, we're all sinners. It's just all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not the question. The question is, do you have a Savior, Jesus Christ? And that's what matters. So God knows that all men are sinners and have sinned, but he made the provision to cover all that. And the Holy Ghost brings that to us if we'll just receive it. So going on here in verse 12, John 16:12, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So here's, again, the Holy Spirit, the things he's going to do. He's going to, Jesus had told him many things while he was there, but there was things that he wanted to tell him that they couldn't bear. They couldn't receive it at that time. They couldn't grasp it. And it's the same with us. There's the Bible, you can't understand it at all if you're not even saved. You have to first be saved because it's spiritual. But to really know the depths of it, you need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. You need to be full of the Spirit. And Jesus said that. He said, I have many things to say to you. And he said them to them, but it was, again, later on through the Spirit. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Not just, again, some of the truth, but he'll guide you into all the truth. And I thought, how precious. He shall not speak of himself. He'll glorify Jesus and show us things to come. And I thought of how, our pastor just recently finished the book of Revelation, showing us things to come. And isn't that marvelous to know what we know about what's going to come upon this world? What's coming upon it now, obviously, is a part of that. But what's really going to come, it's like reading the end of the book here, and we win. Praise the Lord. This is so wonderful that the Spirit reveals to us things to come. And this ties in with Genesis 24, where Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to get a bride for Isaac. And, Eliezer didn't talk to Rebecca that whole journey about himself, what kind of servant he was and what he'd been doing and how long he'd worked for the master and this and that. I'm sure he told her about Isaac. He wasn't talking about himself. He talked about Isaac. And where it says here that Jesus said, all things that the Father hath are mine, we read in Genesis that Abraham gave everything he had to his son Isaac. When he had sent Eliezer to get Rebekah, he said all of his master's goods were in his hands. So the Holy Spirit brings us the things of Christ, and he shows them to us. He's got them all to show us. And that name Eliezer means God is help. Just like that comforter, the Parakletos, the one called alongside to help. So precious how all that ties in together with the Genesis 24 there. So anyway, in this portion, Jesus was saying he couldn't tell them many things. He could only show them so much at that time. They needed the Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their heart, to see the things that only he could show them. And Let's go over to Acts chapter 1 and see another thing that we receive from the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them, they would have power. And you see the example in the apostles' lives, how they changed from before the Pentecost till after. But in all our lives, we need power to go on. This life we're living is more than what we can handle. It's just like when Elijah fell asleep there under the juniper tree and whatever, and the angel woke him up and said, "The journey's too great for you." And it is. It's too great for us. But we need the Holy Spirit. He'll give us that power. And to be, and it says here, "You'll be witnesses unto me." That word witness means martyr. And many died for Jesus. You know, the apostles did, but many throughout the years have died for the Lord. Don't know that that would be asked of any of us, but, you know, he does ask us to live for him, and that's going to take power too. It's going to take power to live for him and be a testimony to others and also to be pleasing to the Lord, to walk in his perfect will. And Paul prayed to the Ephesians that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that our inner man would be strengthened with might, but it's by the Holy Spirit that we get that strength. And then let's go back to Romans 5 for another thing that the Holy Spirit brings to us that's been so evident in this meeting. Romans 5, verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And again, that's been so evident in this meeting, and it's precious. You know, Jesus gave us a commandment. He said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." But it didn't stop there. He says, "As I have loved you." Wow. Love one another as Jesus loved you. That takes more love than what you're going to come up with. I mean, just to love one another is going to take more love than what you can anyway. But we need the love of God, but we need that love shed abroad if we're going to love one another as Jesus loves you. That's the kind of love that he wants, and it takes the Holy Spirit to do that, and he does that. And it's precious. Our pastor, again, recently preached on compassion one Sunday night, and what a wonderful sermon that we need to have compassion one for another. You don't know what the other person's going through, and it's easy to be judgmental and critical, but we need to be compassionate, be like the Lord. And then let's turn over to Romans 8. This chapter is a lot about the Spirit, starting in verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." So he quickens our mortal bodies. When we accepted Christ, we died with him, but we're still here with the life of Christ living in us. But we need that quickening. And especially as we get on in years, you know, we start to get weary. We need that quickening. We're not the young, spry 20-year-old that we were that could run around all day long and not think anything of it. We start to get weary along the way, and we're not to be weary in well-doing. Well, the Holy Spirit will quicken us, and it's through the Word of God. The Word of God is what quickens us, and that's what the Holy Spirit will use. And then verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And that word sons is weos, which is the mature sons. The mature sons are led by the Holy Spirit. They're led by the Spirit of God. And it made me think of in Ezekiel with the cherubim, the four living ones, and how it says that let me read it here. "They went, everyone straight forward. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went, and turned not when they went." They were led by the Spirit, and they figure the full overcomers, the bride, the cherubim, wherever the Spirit went, they went. So the full mature sons are led by the Spirit. And then drop down to verse 26 in Romans 8 here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, and it should say himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So how many times do we not really know what to pray for? We want to pray, we want to seek the Lord's will, and we have ideas or whatever. Maybe we don't have any ideas. We're kind of drawing a blank, but Lord, we need you. And not really sure what to pray for, how to pray, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He knows our hearts. He knows the will of God and brings those two together and makes intercession for us to the Father. So how wonderful a thing is that? That, you know, we have the wonderful privilege of prayer, but you might feel like, well, I've just got this great privilege to speak to my Father, but I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask for. Well, the Holy Spirit comes in for you. You just filled with the Spirit and speak. You don't know what you're saying in the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit takes those petitions and brings them to the Father for his perfect will, and the Lord works that in our lives. And how precious how God does it all. We just allow him to do it, and he does it. And Jude said that we should be praying in the Holy Ghost. And we do need that. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, we don't pray in the name of the Holy Ghost. We always pray in Jesus' name. So, but we pray in the Spirit. We pray in the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost knows our hearts and can make intercession for us that way. Romans, let's turn over to 14, chapter 14. And verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we're heading for the kingdom, right? Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on earth. But, you know, what is that kingdom? Is it going to be just a bunch of eating and drinking? No, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that kind of joy you can't get in this life naturally. The world can give you some kind of happiness, pleasure for a short time, but the joy of the Holy Ghost is something that we can have, and it's beyond what this world can offer us. And then Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill you with joy and peace in believing. That's what we need. We need that joy and peace. And it's in believing. You believe the word of God, believe that God's in control of everything, and that we have a wonderful hope presented to us, the coming of the Lord, and that we're going to be caught away together with him. And through the Holy Ghost, we can abound in that hope. We can, because this world will drag you down every hour it can. It'll just drag you down and cloud your vision and whatever, but through the word of God and in believing it, the power of the Holy Ghost, we have that hope, and we can be looking forward to the day, looking forward to, you know, I'm one day closer to the Lord's coming, and is Jesus going to come for me today? And just have a hope like that, not be down about all the things that are going on around you and in the world and whatever, but we have a wonderful hope, don't we? So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians now. Chapter 2. See some more things about what the Holy Spirit can bring to us. Starting in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So God's got things prepared for us, and it's not anything we've ever seen or heard, and we can't even imagine the things he's prepared for us. But the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. He can reveal things to us, and it's, yea, the deep things of God he reveals to us. Not just a little here and there, but it's the deep things that God's preparing for us. And it's a revelation. And it's, aren't you glad you don't have to be a super intelligent person or have gone to so many years of schooling to do this? It's by revelation. In fact, you can go to many years of schooling, and it's probably a detriment to you, because you start using your thinking too much, and you're not allowing the Spirit to speak to your heart. So it's nice at times to be simple. There's a simplicity in the gospel and simplicity in Christ, and that's what we need. And so the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. And again, it's he compares spiritual things with spiritual. The comparing Scripture with Scripture is how the Holy Ghost teaches us. And that's where people can get into trouble if they take one Scripture and try to build a doctrine around one little Scripture. You've got to compare Scripture with Scripture to get the whole counsel of God. You can't just take one little part and say, this is what that says. You've got to really get the mind of the Spirit, and it is by comparing the whole Bible. And again, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. A man that's not born again can read this Bible and quote it, but he's not going to really know what it's saying. It won't make any sense to him. It'll be foolishness to him, as it says here. You've got to be born again to even understand the Scriptures, but then to really know them, you've got to find the author of the book. That's the Holy Ghost to really reveal them to you. And that is true especially for the bridal message. There's many things to learn in the Bible, but when it comes to the bridal truth, if you aren't if it hasn't been revealed to you by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to see it. People can tell it to you, even if you're saved. They can tell it to you and show it to you, but it's a revelation. And I know many, you've heard testimonies over the years, many have heard the bridal message and heard it, but it wasn't until that there was a certain point in their life, maybe it was right when they got filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever it was, that, wow, this is a proposal to me. Jesus is proposing to me, and it becomes real to you. So that takes the Holy Spirit for that to happen, especially in the high calling message there. Let's turn over to Galatians 5. In verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit, and what is, if you think of all these things, this is something we would all love to have, the love, the joy, the peace, to be meek and so forth. But really, that's describing the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? All those traits. The love, the joy he had, the peace, as he told the disciples as he was facing the cross, he said, my peace I give unto you, my joy I give unto you. And he still had those things. They couldn't be taken away from him. But the long-suffering, the gentleness, he was a meek man, and the faith. So we want to be like Jesus, don't we? God wants us to grow up into Christ in all things. So again, the Holy Spirit is this fruit of the Spirit is not to glorify the Spirit, not to be like the Spirit. It's to be like Jesus. And that's what we want to be. That's why Jesus is the center and circumference of everything. You know, this meeting, we want to say that, but he created everything. It's all created for him. He holds it all together. And we want to be like him. And so this fruit of the Spirit that we would love to have more and more in our lives is as we grow up into Christ. We become more like him. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, we're heirs of God. Everyone that's born again is an heir of God. We've got an inheritance. And that he's the earnest, the Holy Spirit, that's like the down payment. It's like the pledge you give when you intend to purchase something. You give a down payment, whatever. So if you had, for an example, someday you were going to inherit $1 million, and part of that was a pledge, well, for now you get to have $100,000 of it, you know, until the fulfillment of that inheritance, wouldn't you want it? Of course you would. Well, the Holy Spirit's like that. He's like a down payment. But, you know, that was a kind of a weak example. But still, we want the Holy Spirit. He's the earnest of our inheritance. We want our inheritance. The Lord wants us to have it, and we are his inheritance too. And so the Holy Ghost is that earnest for us. And then go over to chapter 3 here in Ephesians. And starting in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So here, another thing that the Holy Spirit does is reveal the mysteries. There's mysteries that were hid for ages throughout the Bible that weren't to not ever be known. They weren't a mystery like that, but they were just held for a certain time to be revealed. And that was the time now that we live in. These mysteries are revealed, but they're revealed by the Spirit. These men didn't study the book for their whole lifetime and figure it out. It took the Holy Spirit to reveal it to them. And so the many wonderful mysteries, I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but one of them is, of course, the Bride of Christ is the great mystery. But it has to be, again, revealed by the Spirit. And then I want to look at spiritual gifts. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in thinking of these gifts, I had mentioned how God the Father gave two great gifts. He gave his Son and he gave the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus gave gifts to the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church. Okay. Well, now we're going to read about what the Spirit gives. And you know, our God's a giving God. Gives all these gifts. And just take it. You know, just take it. It's not being stingy. It's not being greedy, I mean. And he's not stingy. He wants to give to us. And so it pleases God for us to receive what he's offering us. And so let's look at what the spiritual gifts are in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so that, just right there, you can't even accept Jesus and truly say Jesus is the Lord and be saved without the Holy Ghost. It has to be something real in your heart, and the Holy Ghost has to be the one that's the witness to that. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So in other words, that when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, a manifestation, it's not just for you personally, it's for all to profit from it. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But these all, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So the Holy Spirit, think about these wonderful gifts we have here, like some wisdom. You know, we need wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will give a gift of wisdom to someone, and they're to share it with us. And aren't you thankful for those over the years that you've been able to hear preach the Word of God that had such a depth of knowledge of the Scriptures that you could go to them with a question and they had an answer for you? And they could show you in the Bible where it was? And I love that. I was thinking of a man that I testified to at work a while back, and we were talking about things in the Bible, and he's like, show me where that's in the Bible. And I thought, that's the way to be. You don't just take my word for it. Let's see if it's really in the Bible like that, you know? And that's what we need to be. We need to have the wisdom of the Word of God. But faith, the different gifts, the speaking in tongues, we've had wonderful tongues message here on Sunday. We've had a lot of them, but this last Sunday, what an encouragement to those here when they hear the Lord speaking through someone and interpreted like that, and encourages us to go on. And these are just gifts that the Holy Spirit's given to the body of Christ, the gifts of healing. We pray for that so many times and see that often where the Lord will come in for a healing, and praise the Lord. It's a blessing to the body. But all these different gifts are that the Holy Spirit gives, and some he might give more than one gift, you know. He gives severally as he will. But it's for all of us to profit by. And so thankful the Holy Spirit knows who he'll use to give that gift to. We might be surprised when we find out who the Lord would use to manifest a gift, but he knows what he's doing. And then I want to read one more verse here in verse 12. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And this word, this verse here has some words that are translated actually a little bit better if you look at the original Greek on them. By one Spirit were we all baptized, and that was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, the whole body of Christ, was baptized on that one day in the Spirit. So we were all baptized at one time. And then it says we've all been, where it says made to drink, it should be we were all given to drink in one Spirit. We weren't made to drink of the Spirit. God doesn't make us drink. He offers it to us. The Holy Spirit's offered to us. We've been given the Spirit to drink of, and it's your choice whether you're going to do it or not. So that's an opportunity that I would encourage all of us to drink of the Spirit, to take in more and more, not just to be filled once, but to be full. So I covered a lot tonight, said a lot here, and I want to kind of summarize it, go over it once real quickly just to maybe refresh your memory as we close here. These things about the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. He's the promise of the Father. He's a gift from our Heavenly Father. He is the Comforter. We need comfort, don't we? He shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. He shall testify of Jesus. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. And remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He'll guide you into all truth, all the things about Jesus. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Jesus. Jesus said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Our mortal bodies are quickened by his Spirit. We don't even know what we should pray for, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us. We should pray in the Holy Ghost. We have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit reveals unto us all the deep things of God. The Holy Ghost teaches us spiritual things. And it talked about the ninefold fruit of the Spirit and how we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that he's the earnest of our inheritance. The mysteries are revealed by the Spirit. And then close with the nine gifts of the Spirit. So there's many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. I'd be like Paul and say, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I hope that's been a blessing to you, an encouragement to really seek the Lord, to want to be full of the Spirit. Thank God for giving us that wonderful gift. And let's stand and be dismissed.